Well, I want to thank you for being here this morning and welcome you to our service as far as the lesson is concerned today. And so thankful that we could gather together so that we could encourage one another by way of singing. And certainly it was an encouragement this morning for us to sing these songs and think about the content that's found in the message there. And hopefully this morning as we look at some things from God's Word, it will be that we will be encouraged by it as well and motivated to make adjustments in our life where we see fit and strive to do our very best to please God. It's wonderful to see you. Enjoyed seeing so many of you last night. We had a good time at our trunk or treat. Enjoyed the fellowship and the food. It was delicious and all of the candy that we were able to get. And I was even able to take a box of it home with me. So I'm good for the next few months also. And I want to thank you for that. I love Twix and Snickers and, about 7 or 8 of those bite-sized ones will do it. But I got a whole bag of them, so enjoyed that very much, but enjoyed getting to be with all of you last night as well. We got to see some really good costumes also. When you think about time of year, you think about certain things. And I was reminded of something this week. Ask you this question. I want you to think in your mind for a few moments about the best field trip you ever had when you were in school. The best field trip that you ever had while you were in school. And you know, we got thinking about that this morning at the early service, and I asked Dylan McCreeless about what his favorite field trip was that he had been on in school, and he shared his favorite field trip with me. Tommy talked about going to the Space and Rocket Center when he was a kid, and the rest of us were having a hard time remembering anything about a field trip. Tommy's just a little bit younger than the rest of us. Apparently, they started doing field trips about the time that Tommy got to that age, and the rest of us were just out of luck. I don't remember any good field trips as a kid. But I can tell you, it seems like these days, the kids are allowed to go on some fantastic field trips. Probably one of the field trips that I remember the most is when Cade and I, or one of the girls, I can't remember who it was, took a trip down to the state capitol in Montgomery and toured the downtown area a little bit. Enjoyed that trip very, very, very much. But right now, during this particular time, we've got some field trips that have been scheduled, some that have already been taken. Several of our students here in kindergarten and their parents were able to go earlier this week out to Gullion Farms. Many of us know who owns that farm area, and they got to go out and they got to see a pumpkin patch, and they got to pet some of the animals out there. They got to milk a cow, and they got to do a lot of fun things, get on a big slide. I think Sarah Denton was able to go, and Addie and Seth and their parents and several others may have had the opportunity to go on a field trip like that. And Addie was so excited about it. We got some beautiful pictures of them riding horses and doing all of these fun things on this fun field trip. And maybe you have at this time begun to decorate your home for the holidays. And while you're doing that, you probably got these fall themes set out. And you may have these pumpkins. And, of course, the kids got an opportunity to go to the pumpkin patch while they were there on that field trip. Well, this lesson comes from the title of a book by Liz Curtis Higgs. Maybe some of you have read this book. It's entitled The Pumpkin Patch Parable. The Pumpkin Patch Parable. And so what I want to do is I want us to take a look at this today, and I want us to consider how we can make some parallels with regards to our lives and to a pumpkin. Before we do that, I want us to begin in Ephesians chapter 2, and I want us to read verses 1 through 7. And I want this to soak in a little bit with you because I really want this to kind of be the theme that we have in our minds today concerning this lesson. Here Paul writes to the Ephesians, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now let that thought sink in today as we look at some of the parallels that we can make with regards to our lives and to visit to the pumpkin patch. First of all, we can compare the pumpkin patch field to the world. When you take a look at that, that's not a far stretch for us. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 38, Jesus there is sharing with those listeners the parable of the weeds. And when He talks about that, He talks about in the explanation to His disciples that the field is the world. So it's not a stretch for us to kind of consider this notion and this idea of the big field where all the pumpkins are growing and there's the big patch out there as representative of the world for us in our life. Now, when we move on and we think about this a little bit more, we can understand that Jesus came into the pumpkin patch to reap a harvest from what He planted, His creation. So if we're all the little pumpkins and we're all growing out there in the field, well, we recognize that Jesus come to reap a harvest there in His vineyard or in His field. He wants to take us. And He wants to help us. And He wants to harvest us as His. You know, I think about the passage of Scripture that we find in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 34 through 35. Here Jesus had spent some time with a woman from Samaria, and they're at a well, and He begins to tell her all the things that she had ever done in her life. And when He does that, she comes to realize there's something unique about this individual. This must be the Messiah. This must be the Christ that we've been waiting for. And so what she did from that point is she went back into the city where she was from in Samaria, and she began to tell other people in the city what had happened to her at the well. Well, when they listened to what she had to say, they were intrigued by this, and so the whole city went out there to Jesus to hear what He had said to her. They were intrigued. And when Jesus saw the crowds coming, He says to His disciples there in John chapter 4, verses 34 and 35, that do not say that there are still 4 months of the harvest. For look out, the fields are already white for harvest. In other words, He's saying, these people that are coming to us, they need to hear our message. We need to start teaching them. We need to start sharing the gospel message with them to benefit them and to bless them. So Jesus came to reap a harvest from His creation, the field. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, following Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus in the tree, He says to him, come down, I'm going to go home and eat with you. And He goes to His house, and it's there at that time in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 that Jesus says, I have come to seek and to save the lost. So what did He do? Well, according to Colossians chapter 1, what Jesus does is He sees us out there in that field. And we are His creation, and He wants us, and He wants to help us. And when you've got a big pumpkin growing out there in that patch, sometimes when you pick that pumpkin up, you recognize that it's been in the elements. And so it sometimes has dirt all over it. So what do? You take that pumpkin and you take it home and you rinse it and you wash it up and you get it all clean and nice, right? That's what Jesus is doing for us. He wants to take us from the world and He wants to clean us up and He wants to wash us. And so we're reminded of the passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, or 21 and 22 of this text. And I want to share with you what He has to say, or what Paul has to say here in regards to this. He says, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. That's what He's trying to do. We turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, and in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, he says, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." You have been bought with the blood of Christ. He has redeemed you. He has come and He's taken you, and He wants to cleanse you. He wants to wash you. He wants to make you presentable. And He wants to present you holy and blameless and above reproach or without reproach to the world. So we got the pumpkin patch field, and representative of the world in which we are born, in which we live, and we got Jesus, and He's coming to this field to harvest us, to take us, to clean us up. Well, what else? When we think about this story, we can compare the messy inside of the pumpkin to the sin that dwells in us. You know, whenever you get a pumpkin out there and you're preparing it for this holiday in particular, you go home and you cut out that top, you pull the top off, and what do you have inside there? You just have a nasty mess. That's all you can say about it. I mean, yeah, listen, you can take that stuff and make something good out of it, but listen, you stick your hand in a pumpkin and it's what? It's gross. That's what Addie said. My granddaughter had the opportunity to go and clean one of those pumpkins out. She said, "Poppy, did you know that when you put your hand in a pumpkin, that's gross?" It is. It's gross. It's just a big old nasty mess of stuff in there, and it's slimy and it's gooey and it's icky, and you're like, "Ah, I can't wait to wash my hands." And you got that messy inside. And you know, that's what we sometimes have in us. We're a mess inside. You know, our hearts get to thinking about things that are not appropriate, and we have these fleshly desires, and then we have this worldliness and this covetousness and all of these things. And it's described in the Scriptures for us. When you look here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 19 and 22, the old man there is described as greedy and sensual and impure and corrupt through deceitful desires. If we go a little bit further, we can take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And here, before their conversion, I want you to listen to how Paul describes these individuals, these Corinthians. He described them as thieves. He described them as adulterers. He described them as idolaters, drunkards, swindlers, homosexuals. He said, prior to your conversion, this is what you were doing. This is how you were living. This was your life. This is what you wanted. These were your desires in that inner man. This is what you were wanting to do. But you've been washed. You've been sanctified. There's this mess inside of us that needs cleaning out. And that's what we do to that pumpkin. We bring it home, we cut that top off, and we clean out everything that's inside there. I'm reminded of the passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, if we begin in verse 5, listen to what Paul says here. He says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." What's Paul saying there? He said, a lot of you folks got a mess going on inside. Your lives are a mess. And you got to put to death some of these things. Now, what is it that we've got to put to death? You put to death what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Now hold on to that thought, because we're going to come back to that. So we got a mess, right? We're a mess. God wants to take that pumpkin. We can equate to our lives. He wants to clean that out. Clean it up. So we can compare the messy inside, the sin that dwells in us, and something needs to be done with it. Well, what are we going to do? Well, we can compare the candle to the light of God that lives in us, and fills us with His goodness. Once we get these pumpkins and we take them and we clean them out, a lot of times we put a candle inside, right? Some type of illumination. We light it up. Do that, and we can see the comparison to the candle of the light of God that lives in us and fills us with His goodness. There's this mess that's been taken out, and we want to clean up our hearts and our minds and our lives. And here Jesus wants to do that. And so He wants to put the light of the gospel in us. Now, go back here to Colossians chapter 3 again. We read all of these things that Paul says about the earthly that had dwelt in those individuals and how they need to put it to death. And here's what we need to do in order to put on the new self. He says, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Now we want to be more like Christ. We want to have the light of His Word living in us. And so we look at this passage. Go over to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, he says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." We can go back over to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, and we can look at verses 14 through 19. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, it's important for us to go back and dissect this a little bit. I want us to look and see here that He wants us to be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in our inner being. Well, how is that going to happen? He says, I want this to happen so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. We know that the Spirit of God dwells in us. And we know that the Spirit of God can help change us so that Spirit lives and dwells there. But when we think about that, what do we need to say? We want to be people like Christ. We want to be like what we see in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. We want to have hearts of love. We want to be loved like Jesus. So we want to have His fullness living in us. How do we do that? Well, when you think about certain passages of Scripture about having that Spirit live in us, and here He even talks about Christ dwelling in us by faith. Well, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, and again in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we see here some parallel passages of Scripture where one text says, being filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord, or singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You got Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, says, "Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, speaking and admonishing," or teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. Now what is He saying there? He's saying here, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, then you let the words of Christ dwell in you. This is what can change you. That Word. And so when we think about that pumpkin and we take it home and we cut it open and we clean it all out and we put that light in there, that candle or that illumination of some type, what we are representing here and what we need to think about is in our own lives, allowing that Word to influence us, allowing Christ to dwell in us and His goodness to fill us, His warmth. We think about that candle. We think about that pumpkin. And then we can compare the carved pumpkin to the new creation which glows with the glory of God. You know what we do? We take that pumpkin home and we change it, don't we? We change it to look like what we want it to look like. We put the light in it. We carve out the eyes. We make a big mouth. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? We do it so we can put the candle in there so that it can glow. So it can glow. So it can shine. And as a new creation, we should glow with the glory of God. And go back to the very first thing that we talked about. You know, when we talked about being out there in that field, what happens to a pumpkin that sits out in the field and isn't picked? What does it do? Rots eventually. It dies. We can be taken, though. We can be molded and changed by God so that we can reflect His glory. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, here the Apostle Paul, after he has discussed the Corinthians, and we mentioned them a few moments ago, and how they were like prior to their conversion, but he's going to conclude this chapter with this realization and this reminder for the Corinthians. He says in verse 19, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is a passage of Scripture that all of you are familiar with. Verse 17, Paul would write, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You're a new creature. Some translations say you're a new creation. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we take a look at that passage of Scripture, and you know this one as well. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ," what? "Liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." We're told in Peter that we are to radiate the glory of God. He has brought us out of darkness and into His marvelous light so that we could show forth the praises of Him. We could show forth His glory. We are told in Matthew chapter 5 to be a light. "Let your light so shine before men," verse 16, "that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We think about the pumpkin patch parable. We think about how that the pumpkin patch represents the world into which we are born, and Jesus wants to come and He wants to take us from that. He wants to harvest His creation. He wants to clean us up. He wants to make us something better. He wants to create in us something that's new. He wants to set that light in us and fill us with His goodness. He wants to carve us and mold us so that we can reflect His glory and share that glory with the world. This morning, I hope that as you think about your life, as you think about your contributions to this world, you'll think about the importance of making changes to your life so that you can be filled with the goodness of God and better reflect His glory and be a service and representative to Him in your life. This morning, if you've not been doing that, you've not been serving God the way that you should, it may be that you want to change. You want to make a change. It may be that you're not a Christian. You're like some of those Corinthians before Paul and others had been there to preach to them, to help bring them around to a knowledge of Christ. They were a mess. They were a mess. They needed to get rid of all of that sin and all that wickedness and evil and all the desire and things that plagued their inner man. They needed to be transformed. You can be transformed today if you want to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, to be baptized to wash away those sins, raised to walk in newness of life. You can start your relationship with Jesus. He can help you. He'll forgive you. If you'll allow Him, through His Word, He will begin to fill you with His goodness. He will begin to change your life and transform you into something that can be useful in service to Him and His kingdom. But the decision is yours. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning, we invite you to do so while we stand and sing.